Praise the Lord. This is Elder Denise Bryson. I will be your host, and we are going to be talking about God's love for us today. This is our foundational truth series that we're going to be starting with Denise Bryson Ministries. And what we're doing, our purpose is to pour a foundation to build a temple for godly living. And so we get so many questions all the time when we're ministering, people asking, okay, so now I've given my life to the Lord, and so where do I go from here? What do I do from this point, and what is my next step on being saved? And so I've developed a teaching series from various teachings that I've received about foundational teaching and about being saved and the next steps and what to follow and what to look for, how to read, how to study your Bible, how to pray, and these kind of things like that. And, of course, those are things you develop over time how to do. It's just that, you know, once you get saved, it's sometimes a little scary because you're like, okay, so then what do I do now? How do I do it? What do I do? So people ask those questions all the time. And so we're here just to kind of shed some light on that. So this program is for those who are just recently saved, or those, somebody that you know that you would love to be, that you want God to save, and you want them to have some information about how they are, what are their next steps and the things that they will be doing and what God is doing and why God wants us saved. Why did he take the time to even think about us to save us? And so these are some of the things we want to talk today about God's love for us. And, of course, we know that God loved us so much. The Bible says in John 3:16, well, first of all, in John 15:13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And, of course, we understand that love is unselfish, it is loyal, it's and benevolent concern for the good of another, the fatherly concern of God for man, brotherly concern for others, and a person's adoration of God. That is one of the definitions in the Webster's Dictionary about love. God's love for us is unconditional, meaning it is not limited. There is no limit to God's love for us. And that is awesome to know that no matter, God still has love for us. And even when in the beginning, when God created man, and then when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they disobeyed God, his love for them did not cease. It didn't cease. He didn't stop loving them because they committed something. They sinned, and he told them not to do it. God made provision for their sin in Genesis 3:15. And in that verse it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And this was the promise of the Messiah, our Lamb slain, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the fatherly love God committed to send his son to die in our place and redeem us back to himself. So these are some of the things we're going to talk about. This is actually going to be a two-part series because it's kind of lengthy, because, you know, we really can't explain God's love for us. You know, we can only kind of tap into it, but God's love first of all, he's sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. So he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's all-seeing. And then he's sovereign. That means he's just God. And so when you think about it from that perspective, you really can't explain him. We can just try to use our limited view of what we think God's love is for us, but it runs so much deeper than what we could even imagine. And so when we think about it from that perspective, we just got to understand that God is God, and we're so glad that he loves us more, loves us enough to even want us to still be a part of his family. Because he could have just left us out there in sin, but he said, no, I won't do that. That's my creation. That's who I formed, who I made, and somebody that I created. And when he created Adam and Eve, he actually created, Genesis also says that he created us in the image of God. And so when he did that, we were all really created at that time. And some of us just kind of always say this when I talk to people, we was back up in there. You know, Adam came first, Eve came first, but the rest of us was back up in there. And so as time went on, God just blessed us, and we began to come through the birth canal, through the chain, through the channels, and then we were birthed out into reality. And so, but the thing about it is that God loved us enough that before. Hold on, I have one caller coming in. So we're going to be talking about that from their perspective. I have some co-hosts that hopefully will be calling in, but they haven't called in as yet, so we're going to keep on going. The next thing we're going to talk about is God's amazing love and how even when we haven't kept our commitment to obey God, He still loves us. Just like when Satan tricked Eve in the garden and he tries to trick us into thinking that because of our sins, God does not love us as usual. He's lying. God's unconditional love for us was proven when he sent Jesus to die for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5 and 8. Christ's love for us is unchangeable. John 13 and 1. It's divine. John 15 and 9. It's self-sacrificing. John 15 and 13. It's inseparable. Romans 8 and 35. It's constraining. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. It's sacrificial. Galatians 2 and 20. Hello? I have a caller. Mr. Henry?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay, so this is my co-host. One of my co-hosts has come on the line. I was just talking to them about while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and Christ's love for us is unchangeable. It's divine.
Yes.
It's self-sacrificing. It's inseparable. It's constraining. And it was sacrificial.
Yes.
And it manifested by his death. And then 1 John 3 and 16 says the love of God has no limitation and no respect of person. Until we allow God to love us, we will never experience real love. And when we let God love us, then will we know how to be loved by others. And so that's kind of where we were. And I was thinking like we were going to talk about love and unconditional love. God has that agape love for us. God's love for man. We're going to talk about those two things right there. And if we look at James 1 and 18, it says, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creation. So God talks, there's so much that God is, but when we talk about God's love for his creation, we have to first think about John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the major things that God talks about, is God's love is, the Bible is God's love letter to us.
Yes.
And he depicted it in John 3:16. When it says that,
for God so loved the world.
Yes, that he gave his only begotten Son.
Whosoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Eternal life. And so that's what God is promising us. And so many times we're so excited about this life we have on this side, but we have a better place to go. And it's not a dreadful thing. Some people think, well, I won't be living there, but eternal life is so much better because when we get to eternal life, we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about sickness and disease and all of those things that that people deal with on a daily basis here on this side. So when it talks about John 3:16, it says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, the entire gospel comes into focus when God's love is not static or self-centered.
Yeah.
It reaches out and draws others in. So it just wasn't to the Israelites. It wasn't with God. When Christ died, it opened up his love for all of us, for all of mankind. And so that's how much he loves us. And here God set a pattern of true love, the basis for all love's relationships. When you love someone dearly, you are willing to give freely to the point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of his son, the highest price he could pay. That was the highest price he could pay. And he paid it for us. That would be like thinking of somebody who wanted something so bad that maybe the original price for it was 10 cents, but they were willing to pay $1 billion for it.
Yeah.
But his love is priceless. His sacrifice was priceless. There's no way we can even put a dollar amount on it. What it did was Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price for our sin, and then offered us up new life that he has brought for us. When we share the gospel with others, our love must be like Jesus, willingly giving up our own comfort and security so that others might join us in receiving God's love. Yeah. So when we think about why he died for us and why salvation is offered to us, we have to think about his unconditional love for us. Because without that, we would still be sinners. But God thought enough of us after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden that he would offer his son to die on our behalf. He would become that lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's true. Even I mean, somewhere in the text there that we wrote out, when we look at the love, we can even go to Genesis, where God created the earth, where God created man after his own likeness, after his own kind. Come and let us make man in our own image. That says a whole lot right there. And then when he said, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over everything. I mean, we can see the proof of love right there. Even when we see God's instruction to Adam, we can see the proof of love right there. And even in chapter 3, when they fell, we can see the proof of love of what he did as opposed to killing them. Punished, but he did not destroy. So you see the proof of God's love right there. And as you said earlier, you John 3:16, where it shows Christ's love, where everything led to Christ. But we can see that the fall of man, the redemption of God in the Old Testament era, the animal sacrifice, even led to Christ, which is even bigger. And love is important. I mean, when we think about the love of God, it's very important. Because it would be very hard to trust God if you don't know that he loves you, that he loves you. You know? I mean, how do you trust somebody who you don't know loves you? It's hard with trust. You don't know this person has their best interest at heart. How do you trust? And we just have to know that. That the scripture is not about legalism. It's not about God wanting to destroy. But the fact that he loves us. But even to the point that God would yet send us, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? That's love right there. That's great love right there. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. So I think, you know, as we show the illustration of this, you know, we put everything in context, is that we got to know that God loves us, cares about us, and he has our best interest in mind. Isn't that what you've been talking about, Elder?
Yes. Yes. And I mean, if we really just look at how God loved, he had love for his creation. And even if we think about Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So no matter what you've done in life, no matter what we've done in life, God is still willing to let us come in. He's willing. He sent Christ to die for your sins. It's all your debt has already been paid. You just gotta surrender. You just gotta allow Christ to be your savior. Accept him as your savior. That's what you have to do. He's already done the hard part. All because of his love.
Even while you accept Christ, because, you know, those who accept, you know, his love, because of his love, even those of us who are in Christ sometimes find it difficult to walk wholly in his love, because we got all kinds of thought going through our head of thinking that he's like man or he's like us. The fact of the matter is he's not. He cannot reverse his law. He can't.
No, he can't.
He can't. So whatever it is somebody out there has done or even doing, he loves you still. Because the thing, though, he died for us in three parts. He died for our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin.
Exactly. And so many people think, well, you know, I got saved, and then, well, now I messed up, and I kind of went back in a different direction, and we feel like God is not God of that, but God is still God. When Jesus died, he died for what you were doing, what you've done in your past. He died for what you're doing right now, and he died for what you've done, what you will do in the future. He's already paid the price. And God does not put condemnation on us. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict us, but he does not condemn us. The enemy is who is condemning you and telling you that what you're doing, that God doesn't love you. He's always speaking in our ear. God don't want you. God don't love you. He look at your life. You know, he speaks those kind of negative things in our ear. But we got to remember that is his job. And he does it well. But what we have to do is we have to make sure that we believe God. Because when we believe God, then we are telling God that we are trusting him. We are trusting him, and we believe that God will work. It says to believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust and our confidence in him, that he alone can save us. It is to put Christ in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. Believing is both trusting his word is as reliable and relying on him for the power to change.
Yes.
Now, that's something right there. We got believing is both trusting his word is reliable.
Yes.
That what he says is true. And relying on him for the power to change. We have to rely on God for the power to change. We're too busy trying to change ourselves. And that's not our thing. We're not supposed to change ourselves. We're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. It says we're supposed to believe, but we're too busy trying to have the power to change ourselves. When he gives us the power to change, we have to rely on his power. Yeah.
Of course, John 1:9. In the top of the verses, who says he is with all sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. And then 9 says, if you confess your sin, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Yes.
So, not that he forgives you, but to cleanse you, to renew you, to transform you, you know. So, like you said, he's not counting on you to do it all. You don't have the ability to cleanse yourself. You just have to surrender, and you just have to believe in that. And that is love, because John 3:16-17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And this takes faith. You've got to believe that Christ is not about condemning you. Just how you believe that he can bless you, you know, whether you want a job, you know, whether you have a certain need. You got to apply faith in this arena as well, where you believe that he's not about judging you and condemning you and destroying you, but he has the best interest at heart. What he wants to do is this. He wants us to repent and move on.
He wants us to. God instituted grace. So we don't deserve grace. We don't really deserve mercy. But he gives us both of those. He said the Bible says a new mercy we see every day.
Yeah.
Grace is that unmerited favor. He loved us enough to make provision for things. We have to rely on what God is saying. Do you trust his word? Do you believe in his word? When you read the Bible, you have to begin to believe. And we have to understand, when we were in sin, we were enslaved by the devil. But then it said, but God.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:4 says, but God. Those have to be two of the most welcoming words that we could ever hear. Because what it's saying, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God. So in spite of what has happened in your life or what's going on and what is, but God. Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's even in 1 John 2, you know, that first verse, it said, my little children sin not, but if you do, we have Christ, who is our propitiation.
Yeah.
And he's not welcoming sin. He's just saying, if you do. Because the writer then knows that I don't care who you are. You are going to wrestle with this sin issue.
Yeah.
You have to, you have to. He's encouraging us because there are those who have no desire to sin. Like if you think about what's his name? Or Peter, when he sinned against God, against Christ. It wasn't his desire to do that. But what happened? After three times when he did that, he wept. You know? And Jesus knew that.
Yeah.
He knew his heart. He really didn't want to do that. So we're not necessarily giving people the license to do what they want to do. Or behave in ways that are not necessary. But we're just saying, any genuine believer who wants to walk with God, a lot of times when they do certain things, you really don't have to say much because they already have beaten on themselves enough.
Exactly.
You know.
Because if they are saved, they're going to be convicted.
Yeah.
They may not be condemned, but the conviction does come. If you really saved, you got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to bring conviction. Not condemnation, but conviction. Because this is the thing. God could have left us spiritually dead and in rebellion. He could have left us that way. He could have left us in bondage to our sin.
Yes.
But God, he didn't do that. Yeah, he didn't do it. He did not save us because of, but he saved us in spite of.
Yes.
That's the thing. Yeah. He saved us in spite of what he saw in us. He did. That's love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We weren't worthy. We weren't deserving of his love, but he loved us anyway.
Yeah.
Because we were his creation. He created us.
Yeah.
And when he got through creating everything he got created through creating, what did he say? It is good.
It is good, yes. And I guess, and that's another part of his love, too, you know, besides you and us knowing when we talk about redemption and Christ and condemnation. We just also have to know that he loves us. Sometimes we struggle with this issue of self-esteem and insecurity. Because of how people view us. You know, when the reality is that what is God saying about us? And you hear the point,
yeah.
It is good. He created everything and said it is good. He did not create anything and said it was bad.
No, he said it was good.
It was good.
So yeah. And so what that also says to me is this too, when people tell you that you're not worthy, oh, you'll never be nothing, you're going to amount to anything. Look at you. When they say those negative things to you, what you can say back to them is, I was created by God, and
yeah.
God said it was good.
Yes. And Elder,
yeah.
this is not a cliche. This is a reality.
No. This is a reality.
A reality. You know, I think sometimes the way God does things, the way he simplifies things, sometimes we think it's too simplistic. You know?
Yeah.
So, he simplifies it that sometimes we think it's just too, oh man, it's too good to be true. That's the reality.
That's the reality.
That's the reality.
Yeah. I was saying earlier that, you know, this is going to be this might be more than a two-part series. It might go over into three parts because we have so much to discuss about God's love for us. And this is our first show, and so we're kind of getting our feet wet. But, you know, we're going to keep going, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing until we get through our series. This is an actual 11 topics in this series, but each topic might span over more than one broadcast, and so we have to. It'll be a while, but we're gonna walk our way through it. We're gonna walk our way through the steps of salvation, and in hopes that it will really enrich somebody's life, and that it will build a foundation for them, and that they will begin to stand strong. Because you know, when the winds and waves come, and we call them winds and waves, but when the trials of life come, you have to have a firm foundation to stand on. You can't be on shaky ground. You know, like that we used to hear the little fairy tale, the three pigs, and how the one built his house on with straw, and the you know the big bad wolf looped down, and the other one built his house out of I can't remember what it was. That's so old. I don't remember the story, but I think it was sand or something like that. Anyway, he blew that down as well. But the one that built his house on with bricks and on that firm foundation, he couldn't blow that house down. And we want to be like that one that built his house with bricks. We want to build our foundation, our salvation, our souls, get our souls rooted and grounded in God, in Christ, so that we can be on a firm foundation. So when the trials of life come, they won't overtake us, but we'll be able to trust God and believe God that when it's all said and done, we're going to still be standing. Ephesians 6 says, when you've done all the things, stand therefore. And that's what we're trying to do here with the series that we're going to be teaching over some time. We want to make sure that people have a firm foundation and that they are ready to go back with the Lord. Because when he comes for us, we want to be ready to go back with him. We can't be trying to get ready at that time. We want to already be ready. And we want our names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we want to be ready to go back with God when he comes. And so that is our endeavor here in this foundational series. And we have some other series that will be coming after that. But we're going to keep plugging along at it.
And we're doing our first show, and so we're going to next week we're going to talk about man's love for the Creator. This week we just wanted to kind of get our feet wet with it and talk about God's love for His creation. But then over the next couple of weeks we're going to talk about man's love for the Creator, man's love for man, and then we're going to start talking about the ingredients of love. The ingredients of love are concern, compassion, and understanding. We're going to talk about that, and then we're also going to talk about the three classes of love, the agape love, the eros love, the filius love. We're going to talk about that. And there's so much stuff. I mean, we could probably do this for a while, because there's so much to talk about when we really talk about God's love, and we're just scratching the surface of it. We're really not tapping into all that He is, and because he's too big for us to do that. Because we're man, and like they said, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. But I hope that today that there was somebody out there that is listening that did get some understanding about what God's love for us and why He loved us enough to send His Son to die for our sins, and that though you might still have some issues going on in your life, that Christ has already died for that. And if you just begin to believe and trust in Him and understand that He is the one that will give you the power to change, you don't have the power. So don't be saying, well, when I get better or when I get this, then I'm going to come to Christ. No, come on to Christ now. He'll give you the power to change. He'll give you the power to stand. He's the one with the power. All power belongs to God. It don't belong to us. But if we give our life over to Him and let Him fill us with His Holy Spirit, and He'll begin to direct and guide and lead us, and we'll begin to get stronger and stronger every day. Salvation is progressive. So as we keep walking with the Lord, we get stronger in the Lord. And those things that used to trouble you won't trouble you no more. It might be some other stuff come up, but those things, you'll have power over those things because God has given you the power. So those are the things we want you to understand today. And we thank you so much for joining in with us. I thank you for my co-host calling in, Mr. Henry Clayton. Well, I said that wrong, Creighton. I got to get that right. But anyway, we thank you so much for calling in or listening in today. And we're going to close out with prayer. I'm going to ask Minister Henry to close us out in a prayer. And then we'll be on here next week. And we might be on a little longer next week, but we'll grow as we go. We're going to grow. How about that?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for just this time that we were able to share with you about God's love. And we're so grateful for those that might have logged in or those that called in. We're so grateful, and we're so thankful to God that you took the time today to sit in with us and let us talk to you about God's love for us. Will you end us out in prayer?
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this hour. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us this time to just be in fellowship with you and to learn of you, God. And we ask you, Lord, that your word would fall on good ground, Lord, and that I hope that it fell on good ground and those that were listening, Lord, were enriched the more by the word of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, because this is the day that the Lord made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it, Lord. So we thank you today. We thank you for your love, oh God. We can't thank you enough for your love and how you sent your Son to die on the cross on our behalf, that He took our place, God. We're so thankful to you that you had mercy on us and you let your grace abound, oh God. So we thank you so much, God, because we can't really thank you enough. We just got to thank you all the time because it was so wonderful that you chose to do that on our behalf. So, Lord, we thank you today. We worship you and we glorify your name because you are worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you so much for joining in with us today. And we will see you on next week at this same time at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we're going to continue on God's love for us. It'll be part two. And we probably will have a part three, because when I look at the content of what we got, it might take us a while. But anyway, we're going to continue on this journey and hopefully to pour a foundation to build a temple for godly living. God bless you and have a wonderful week.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Minister Henry. God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.